It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. In the 2017-2018 school year, roughly 40% of Wisconsin students scored as proficient or higher on reading, math, and science assessment tests. And that number hasn't changed much in the past few years. We're going to take a look at what these numbers might mean and what this looks like from the point of view of teachers. Are you surprised that only about 40% of Wisconsin students scored as proficient or advanced in reading, math, and science? Why do you think it's only 40%? Why do you think this number hasn't moved much over the past few years? Maybe you're a parent or a teacher. What are your thoughts on standardized testing in Wisconsin? And is it fair to apply the same standard everywhere? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Scott Kirst is an assistant professor of education at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Good morning, Scott, and welcome to the morning show. Scott, hello. Can you hear
me? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay, great.
All right.
Okay, we needed a little more string between our Dixie cups, I think, here this morning. Okay, in the last school year, 40% of Wisconsin students, or thereabouts, scored proficient or advanced on language arts, math, and science assessments. I guess the first question is, what about the other 60%?
Well, that's a great question. The other 60% would be considered minimal or basic. Those would be the individual, still trying to get the different types of learning that's happening in the classroom. And when we hear these numbers of 40%, a lot of us go back to our old school days and remember 40% was an F. We can't really look at these numbers this way. That 60% is actually very intriguing for a teacher. They're saying, okay, we have these 40%. Now, what do I need to do? What are the resources? What are the activities? How do I get to know these individual students so we could raise it up? So many people see assessments as an endpoint, that it's an evaluation of what you've done. In education, teachers, professors, those that are used to it, this is a beginning point. This is a great point for us to start and say, okay, what has worked in the past and what's going to work in the future?
Okay, but these numbers have stayed pretty steady over the past several years. What do you think that tells us about the state of elementary and high school education in Wisconsin?
Well, you have to understand that we have the Common Core state standards.
Okay, I think we're having a problem with our connection here. We're going to switch to cell phone. In the meantime, I will ask our callers to get involved in this discussion. Are you surprised by the numbers in this latest report on how we're doing on standardized testing? Or maybe you think standardized testing is bunk and we shouldn't be doing it at all. Maybe you're a parent or a teacher. What are your thoughts on what these numbers mean? And is it fair to apply the same standard everywhere? Does it even make sense? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's take a call here. Kevin is with us from Oregon. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Good morning. I have a daughter in middle school, and we struggled with the reading curriculums for the last 2 or 3 years. And we have just found that the teachers don't have the ability to spend time on reading skills, and such that we have private tutoring now being used to try to improve our daughter's skills. So there's a significant change in the methods and the availability of the teachers to actually deliver those skills. There's a lot of distractions from other students in the class, which are taking a significant amount of time away from actually skill development. And we're just finding it very difficult to see the penetration of these skills in the schools today.
Kevin, thanks for your call. Scott Kirst?
Yes, I'm right here.
Did you hear Kevin's call?
Yes, I did. And actually, that is an issue. When we talk about a lot of these things, what I hear in the news is the idea of an achievement gap, where it's really truly an opportunity gap, that we're not allowing our students the opportunities to learn as everyone. A lot of the students are coming in with issues, with things that are coming outside. They're not being fed. They're not being helped. They're they're coming in with more issues. And if we were to just have them, come in and we can just teach them, these standards are great. The methods, the teachers in Wisconsin are excellent. But we have a lot of things that we have to work on with these students in addition to just teaching them math or just teaching them literacy.
What about Kevin's point that there were so many distractions in the classroom that the teachers seem to be prevented from really doing what needs to be done to help students learn how to read or do math or whatever it is they're working on?
Well, I'm not a sociologist, but you can talk to a lot of teachers, a lot of people in the educational system that really are stating now that there are a lot more things that children have to deal with nowadays. That there's a lot of tension in families. There's a lot of tension in the social structures, with social media, with all these other distractions that are coming out. We have to really change the ways that we are approaching this. It used to be that we never heard about this stuff, but now we are. And so as teachers, we're really passionate about trying to get these students to a level where their brains are able to take in this intellectual material, and they're not worried about, will I be able to eat this weekend, or, you know, what's going to happen on my way to school? And every teacher cares about that. Every teacher has a passion. We get to know each and every student, and sometimes it really hurts us going home and knowing that they're not having the structures that they need to learn adequately.
We have a caller from Ladysmith. Next, let's go to Barb. And yes, Barb, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. One of the things that I wanted to point out, I've been a testing coordinator in our district for the last 20 years, and that's that you said that the testing scores were flat for the last 3 years. 3 years ago, we switched to a different test. And while that's only one factor, I don't think it can be ignored that the test that we're using now is not exactly, it doesn't test the students in the way that they're used to, that they're being educated. And so it's a lot difficult. And so everyone's scores went down 3 years ago.
Barb, thanks for sharing that insight. Scott Kirst?
Yeah, excellent. That's exactly the point. So many individuals want this to be a switch. But because the curriculum builds off each other, and when you change the test, you're changing the things that you're actually evaluating. We need to build the scaffolding ideas between the students from kindergarten to first to second to third. This is not something we're going to see a huge change from year to year, but we're going to see that increase. So it is difficult when things change because people are saying it's not working fast enough. This is not this is not something that can be done in 6 months, a year. This may take decades.
State education officials pointed out that there's been a slight improvement in math scores. 41.1% of students proficient or better in math, up from 40.3% in 2015. That sounds like a small increase, but is it actually small, or is this statistically significant?
That's a great point. A lot of times we don't have a lot of that data given to us that just says, here's your number. What the schools do, though, the schools get those numbers. They're able to look at it, see the students that actually increased, see if any decreased, what are the issues, and then the schools use that number. The schools use the subsets of all those numbers to help direct individual students in classrooms. As far as number going up and down, it really is not meaningful for any school district. Sometimes it is for the individuals in the public who like saying, my school district is a 40 and yours is a 39, that's better. Well, not really. You know, what we do, we use this data and all the subsets of this data to help guide how can we educate each individual student better every year.
And what do we mean by proficient?
Well, that's a great question. A lot of people like saying, oh, advanced is A, proficient is B, and so on and so forth. That's not what we're talking about. What proficient means is that if you are given a certain task or a certain performance standard, they are able to demonstrate a large portion of it or all of it in some sort of artifact, in some sort of assessment. That's what proficient means. That's what we're aiming for, that everyone meets this. The standards are written developmentally so that we can say at a given grade level, this is what an average student should be able to comprehend developmentally, which means that there are going to be some students that are above and obviously some students who are below. If we had performance standards where everyone was 100%, we'd be questioned, honestly. All these assessments would be questioned if everyone is making that. So we're getting away from, comparing ourselves to others to, this is where you should be. If you're not, how can we help you out?
Scott Kirst is an assistant professor of education at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We're talking about the results released this past week from the most recent round of standardized tests given to students in Wisconsin. Are you a parent or teacher? What are your thoughts on standardized testing in Wisconsin? And is it fair to apply the same standard everywhere? Does it even make sense? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We'll take your calls and we'll continue our conversation about test scores and what they mean in just a moment. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We're talking about the results contained in a recent report on test scores from Wisconsin's K-12 schools. You can join our discussion. What do you think about these test scores? What do they mean? Do they mean anything? Is this something that you're concerned about? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest is Scott Kirst, Assistant Professor of Education at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Scott, we've got another caller with us. Chris is with us from Hillsboro. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show.
Good morning. I'm a special ed teacher, and I do elementary and middle school, and I've also done high school. These tests are not always reliable. We over-test these kids. They have to take district tests. They have to take state tests. And then they have to take their unit tests, and they have to do this. And we just took a MAP test at school, and my students did okay, but literally there were so many questions. Who sits there and wants to read 50 different questions for reading or read these long passages? But a lot of them aren't reading it. I learned more from working one-on-one with my students and being able to help them, but like a previous caller said, we don't have time. We're dealing with even the floods here in Wisconsin. We have kids that with such high anxiety when it starts raining, they lose it. So test scores give us an idea, but on a given day, the test score is going to be different every single day depending on their mood, if they had breakfast, if they got in a fight with their parents, you know, or if they're going to Disney World. So I don't take too much into the test. They're nice to have those scores, and I know what to work on, but they change.
Chris, thanks so much for that call. Scott Kirst, are we making these tests too high in terms of the stakes here?
And I agree with everything Chris said. I think it's a snapshot. It's one focal point. It's one data point that we can use. But if you tell me that you're going to test the person one day and then I'm supposed to make a decision the next 364 days, I would take a special ed teacher sitting down with a student every day and getting to know them all the time. These standardized tests, again, are just part of a large assessment data system that we have. And a lot of times these are just simply literacy tests, or they could just be concentration tests, tests in which if you cannot concentrate or focus, you're not going to do well. So, again, I'm not, obviously every teacher is here. They're like, great, that's a wonderful data point. But I also have this data, this data, this data, this data, this data. We have to really make sure that we don't lose it. And unfortunately, this is so public that individuals that maybe are not part of an educational system might use this and think, okay, this is the Super Bowl. This is the only indicator we have. And we are this number and this school is this number, therefore we're not as good. We can't do that. We have to look at it holistically. We have to look at different assessments.
We had a caller who asked that we discuss the difference between standardized tests and standard-based tests because they seem to be used interchangeably, but they're not the same thing.
Absolutely. Okay. And a standardized test is a test, the same test under the same conditions given to the students throughout a population. So that means that the test is standardized. A standards-based test is a test that actually addresses the performance standards of math or of literacy or whatever you have. So we use this standardized test to evaluate the standards. But there are other standardized tests. The ACT or the SAT, for example, do not directly assess the Common Core state standards or the other state standards that are out there. So when we talk about standards, it's not a curricula. It's actually just a set of knowledge and skills that students should be able to do at certain developmental levels. They never tell how a teacher teaches. It never tells how to assess it, but what it does tell you is that this is where they should be able to go on average.
Let's talk about money, because that seems to always come up in these discussions. What's your assessment of the state of funding for public education in Wisconsin? Do we need to be spending more?
I think we need to be spending more to get more opportunities for our students to connect with our wonderful teachers in Wisconsin. The class sizes, the less interaction we're getting with our students is really hurting that the people on the ground, the ones who actually know our students, the ones that know where they struggle, where their strengths are, where their opportunities are. And sometimes it's frustrating going into a school and a teacher says, I can help these students, I just don't have the time. Or I can help these students, but there's so many other needs I need. So I think when it comes to funding, we have to make sure it's funneled to the right people, the ones who are in direct contact with our students and the students that need the help, the teachers, the guidance counselors, the principals, the ones that could really make a difference in these children's lives.
And what about infrastructure? How much does upgrading infrastructure in schools matter when it comes to teaching?
Well, you know, there was a time in which we were very, very proud of all of our schools, that they were pillars of the community. They were wonderful buildings that really stood the test of time. And now I think many individuals, we've been very spoiled with that. If you go to any town in Wisconsin, you'll see these beautiful brick buildings that are gorgeous from the outside, but the inside is crumbling. So, yes, we do have to make sure that there are learning environments that are there for the students. There's a lot of issues with asbestos. There's a lot of issues with safety, with wiring. Even with new technology, it's very difficult sometimes to upgrade these buildings. So if we do have a passion as a public to get every single student, not only in Wisconsin, but in the United States, we have to really invest in infrastructure so that we can actually have a learning environment that is conducive to high expectations and high achievement.
Wisconsin has an achievement gap based on wealth or the lack of it and on racial disparities, and it's one of the largest in the nation, and it has not narrowed. What can we do to address racial disparities in educational opportunity and resources?
Great question. Inside the educational community, we really do not like the word achievement gap, because that actually puts the onus on the student, and it's not the student's issue. It is an opportunity gap. We, as adults, are not giving our students, our various students in any community, a lot of the opportunities that other students do. A lot of things that we do are wonderful, but we don't have a lot of the funding or the ideas to get the opportunities to other individuals. We have to meet them where they are. We can't just have a blanket, hey, this worked here. I think Wisconsin is one of the most innovative states when it comes to education and what teachers are doing. And we're trying. They're doing an excellent job. But, again, a lot of the issues that were brought up before of mental health, of going home to a family in which they're arguing, or there's issues with opioid abuse, these are issues that are beyond what we can control. And it really limits the opportunities of everyone.
Some teachers and parents are concerned that focusing on standardized testing turns learning into a numbers game, and we're just teaching to the test. Is that a fair concern?
No, not at all. If you were to look at the standards are actually just a floor. And I think every teacher pretty much would say, yes, on average, most of my students would be able to do this. I think a lot of parents are starting to, you know, they talk to the teachers, and the teachers and the parents, they're a team. We're a team to help that student get that achievement. And when we look at it, it is a floor. It's kind of like, okay, this is where we're going to start. And this is how we want your students to go. So it's a common language. So the student, the parents, the guardians, the teacher, everyone is on the same team, and we're all attacking this knowledge in a positive, fruitful way.
Looking ahead, Scott, what changes do you hope to see when it comes to standardized testing in Wisconsin?
I guess I would love to see some more education of the general public on what these tests are and what other indicators are out there to talk about your individual students or individual schools. Again, this is just one number. It can be different from day to day, from week to week. Also, I think we need to talk about patience and actually look at the trends and look at a growth mindset rather than just a, hey, we're here. When we start looking at, are we growing? Are the individual students growing? That's really what I'd like to
okay.
see, more education with all of us.
All right, Scott, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. Scott Kirst is an assistant professor of education at St. Norbert College in De Pere. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.